Hello and welcome to episode number 12 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded October 23rd. I live stream the cast every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. I'd love for you guys to watch live. Otherwise, you can always catch it the next day on Saturday, where I post as an audio podcast stream on iTunes and through an RSS feed. And also, of course, I post the video version on YouTube. YouTube.com/AFTV News is where you can find that. I'd love if you guys watch it instead of just listening. There's never been a better time to watch the AFTV newscast, because if you've been watching for a while, you can probably notice I upgraded my camera and setup quality. So I bought a new camera. I got a nice donation from one of the viewers, and I decided to kind of run with it and use that and put in some of my own money to kind of bump up the quality of the AFTV newscast. And so I bought a new camera, no more using the little built-in camera on the laptop. Also bought a new microphone arm. So hopefully the quality is just a little bit better. Microphone's a little bit closer to my mouth now, as opposed to before, where I kind of had it sitting on the desk. What else? I also bought a hardwired, gigabit Ethernet line. I was going on Wi-Fi before, so now I've run a line down here to where I record. But I got a new background, so just overall a lot of quality improvement on the video and a little bit on the audio, since the microphone's a little in a better position. But yeah, definitely appreciate you guys watching live. But of course, still love the guys who watch on YouTube after the fact. And of course, still love for the audio-only listeners out there. So I'm Elias Saba, the guy who runs AFTVnews.com, and this is where I cover the week's Fire TV news, followed by a little bit of non-Fire TV news, but still related to the whole media streaming world. Got a nice lineup of articles about the bug-fixing effort at Google, some delays in the new Fire TV Fire TV Stick voice version, basically. Little rundown of all the developer options that you might find on the Fire TV, followed by some changes in the way apps are, and some new apps that have arrived, as well as non-Fire TV news in YouTube and Apple TV. And then I'll talk about a little bit about app deals, and then, as always, I'll end things off by running through your questions. Looks like we got a whole bunch of questions. I was skimming through them. They look pretty good. Let's get right into the news. So first up, biggest story of the week is kind of a little exclusive I got. I mentioned this very briefly at the beginning of the last episode. It was last Friday when I first heard about this from my source over at Amazon, and I was able to kind of figure out all the details, and I posted about this on Monday. But the big news is that the reason for the second generation Fire TV and the second generation Fire TV gaming bundle being out of stock is not necessarily because they've sold all of their supply, or either because they've artificially held back. The real reason, which I got from my source who works over at Amazon, who wants to remain anonymous, I respect that, but he tells me that the real reason the second generation Fire TV is out of stock is because Amazon is currently diverting all new Fire TV stock that's coming out of the factory into a pool of testers, essentially. They are giving away these new devices that are coming right out of the factory to Amazon employees, so that the developers over at Lab 126, which is the team that's working on the Fire TV, so that the developers have kind of a pool of testers that they can kind of bounce new software versions off of. So it looks like Amazon is very devoted into fixing all of the issues that are surrounding the second generation Fire TV. I'm told there are about 500 or so people right now with new Fire TVs that are testing new versions of the software for Amazon's developers. I was told that some of the issues that they're testing are related to Dolby Digital surround sound, as well as low audio issues surrounding the second generation Fire TV. I've also been told that there's an entire team dedicated solely to working on the connection issues with the new Wi-Fi based remote control and game controller. So a lot of people have been complaining that the controller is not as responsive, or sometimes, you know, goes to sleep and it takes a few presses for it to work with the new Fire TV. So there's a whole team working on fixing those issues. Really good to hear that Amazon is really taking this seriously. You know, they're probably going to lose a lot of money in, you know, these boxes that they're pulling off the shelves to put towards this bug fixing effort. You know, still great to see that they're doing this. You know, really put a lot of confidence back into myself. And I noticed, you know, there's 63 comments on this post that I made about this. And, you know, the general census is that people are upset that it had to happen, but are happy that Amazon is doing the right thing and making things right with the new Fire TV. Next up in Fire TV news is a delay in the release of the new voice remote bundle for the Fire TV Stick. So along with the second generation Fire TV, Amazon released a new bundle that takes the existing Fire TV Stick and groups it together with the new voice remote and sells it for $49.99, you know, $10 more than the non-voice remote bundle. That bundle was supposed to arrive at people's doorsteps on October 22nd, on Thursday. A few hours before that happened, basically, those who pre-ordered the bundle, including myself, received an email saying that the bundle was delayed. And initially, Amazon delayed delivery to November 13th. And so this delay seems to be for all regions, the US, the UK, and Germany. So it kind of leads me to believe that it's not that there's an issue with stock or an issue with hardware, but rather that since this new Fire TV Stick with a voice remote bundle is going to likely come with Fire OS 5 pre-installed, it seems like Amazon wanted to fix a lot of these bug issues first before putting this device out into the wild, kind of to avoid what happened with the Fire TV 2. And so to kind of make up for it, Amazon gave everybody who pre-ordered the new bundle a $10 credit, which was nice of them. You know, that's a 20% off discount, essentially. Brings the price down for everybody who pre-ordered to basically the same price as the non-voice remote bundle. And so that email went out on Wednesday and Thursday. And then today, this morning, I actually received an email updating my delivery time from November 13th back down to October 28th. So that's just 6 days after when the device was supposed to be available. And hopefully that means that Amazon is chugging through those bug fixes and is pretty confident that they'll have things working next week. You know, I haven't received confirmation that this delivery delay is actually due to the software bugs, but since it's happened in all regions, I don't think it's an issue with actual supply or delivery. I think Amazon has chosen to delay things. And so since this new bundle is going to come with Fire OS 5, and since the Fire TV Stick in this bundle is identical to the one that everybody has and that has been out for a year now, I would suspect that as, you know, as early as the end of the month, we'll start seeing Fire OS 5 possibly come out on existing Fire TV Sticks. And then maybe the first generation Fire TV. There's been no word from Amazon specifically when Fire OS 5 will reach existing devices. But, you know, since this Fire TV Stick in this bundle is no different than everybody else's Fire TV Sticks, if they're confident that on October 28th, customers will have a good experience with Fire OS 5 on this Fire TV Stick, I don't see why they won't release it also on the existing Fire TV Sticks. So this week, I also wrote a little article kind of explaining what the different developer options are for the Fire TV and Fire TV Stick. Amazon gives a little description of each option, but it's not entirely clear to everybody what they mean. So I thought I'd run it down for you, and I'll mention it briefly real quick. So there are three developer options on the Fire TV. One's called ADB debugging, the other one is USB debugging, and the last one is apps from unknown sources. So those all come disabled by default, and you can enable them. And for those who don't know, very briefly, ADB debugging is essentially allowing the Fire TV to be connected remotely through what's called the Android Developer Bridge, which, you know, for short is referred to as ADB. And that little ADB utility allows people to make all kinds of changes to the Fire TV remotely. And so the most common uses for it are sideloading apps. That's done through ADB. You can install apps, you can uninstall apps, you can do all kinds of things. There are even apps like Firestarter, which is a great kind of launching utility that also uses ADB. So, you know, those are the main reasons to want ADB debugging enabled. Now, some people are a little concerned with security when enabling ADB debugging. And for the most part, if you're using the device on your home network, there's no real concern about enabling ADB. It's when you're using your Fire TV, say when traveling either in a hotel or in a school campus where a lot of people are on the same network. There's a little more concern there because essentially, if ADB debugging is enabled, all somebody needs to know is your device's IP address, and they can basically take full control of your device, install things, uninstall things, and really, you know, ruin it if they really want to get malicious with things. So for the most part, don't worry about keeping ADB debugging enabled, but if you're traveling, it's best to have that disabled. Now, the next thing is called USB debugging. Now, that option only becomes available once you enable ADB debugging. So USB debugging is kind of an extension of ADB debugging. It essentially allows you to connect to the Fire TV or Fire TV stick through a USB cable as opposed to over the network. So the most common way to connect to a Fire TV or Fire TV stick via ADB is just over the network through the IP address. But if you want, you can also do it through a USB cable connected to your PC. Now, because the Fire TV has a male A USB port on the back, you're going to need kind of a specialty A to A cable to achieve this USB connection. Whereas on the Fire TV stick, you can use actually just the micro USB cable that comes with the device, the power cable, that is. So the main reason to choose a USB ADB connection instead of a network ADB connection is that a USB connection tends to be quicker. So if you're transferring large files, say, for example, like a custom ROM to the Fire TV or a really large APK file to sideload, it'll tend to go quicker over USB than over Wi-Fi. There's no real concern to leave USB debugging on because, you know, you need physical access to the device. And so it's not really an avenue for anything malicious to happen. And lastly, the last debugging option is called apps from unknown sources. So essentially what this means is if it's enabled, it will allow an app that's already installed on the Fire TV or Fire TV stick to install additional apps. So it's kind of like a daisy chain where normally you install apps from the App Store or you install apps via sideloading, but with apps from unknown sources enabled, any app can then initiate an installation itself. Now, you don't need this turned on for ADB sideloading to work. This is strictly for apps that are installed on the Fire TV to be able to install themselves. Most commonly, those apps are file browsers like ES File Explorer or Total Commander. I've got guides for using each of those to sideload apps. I'll link those in the show notes for those who are interested. Also, if you have an alternate app store installed like Google Play or one of the other kind of lesser known app stores that are available for sideloading, if you have those installed, you'll need to enable apps from unknown sources so that those app stores can install apps on the Fire TV. This is also not too concerning as far as security. The main concern is an app that you've installed installing additional apps without you knowing, but whenever an app tries to install another app, the Fire TV will always prompt you to approve the installation. You can't just kind of silently have another app install another app, you know, unless it's done through ADB. So the only concern here is if, you know, a child or somebody who's not that tech savvy is using the Fire TV, they might unknowingly somehow trigger an installation of something you don't want installed. So in that case, you'll want to leave this disabled. But if you're the type who's often sideloading apps through file browsers, then leaving apps from unknown sources enabled is perfectly fine. Next up, really quickly, is that the free game that comes included when purchasing the new Fire TV gaming controller has changed. So the previous game was DuckTales Remastered, and that promotion expired yesterday, basically. And today, Amazon started a new promotion. So from now until the end of the year, if you buy the new Fire TV game controller, you'll get the game Ollie Ollie 2, which is the sequel to Ollie Ollie, for free. That game runs $14.99, so it's actually a kind of a better deal than DuckTales Remastered, which was a $9.99 game. So I just want to let you guys know there, if you weren't too interested in DuckTales Remastered and you were holding out on buying a new gaming controller, Ollie Ollie 2, which is a skateboarding game, a pretty popular skateboarding game, is now the free game that comes included. Moving along to app news, NBC kind of announced, well, indirectly this week, that the next platform that they're going to be working on bringing their app to is the Amazon Fire TV and the Chromecast. So Variety reported on this. They kind of asked NBC because this week NBC announced that they released their new app for the Apple TV. And so now that they finished their Apple TV app and now that's available, they said that they're going to work on a new Fire TV app. We already have an ABC app on the Fire TV, and Fox has already said that they're going to be releasing an app for the Fire TV as well. So that kind of just leaves CBS as the kind of one of the four big US broadcasters that is not available on the Fire TV. So hopefully they'll get on with the party and release a Fire TV app soon. But it's nice to see an NBC app. So Variety is actually reporting that the majority of the content through the NBC app is going to be available for free without the need to activate the app. So you won't actually need to activate the NBC app with a cable subscription. Now, that's the case with the Apple TV version of this NBC app. Hopefully, I would assume that the Fire TV version, whenever it does come out, will also kind of be that way. No word exactly on when this NBC app will come out, but I kind of suspect it'll be out before the end of the year. The other new app that came out this week is an app from UK TV, which is a big broadcaster over in the UK. Now, unfortunately, this app is geographically restricted, so unless you go in and change your region settings on your Amazon account, you won't be able to install this outside of the UK. But the app allows free on-demand access to four of UK TV's channels, Dave, Really, Yesterday, and Drama. Those are the four channels. So really nice to see more viewing options, more viewing apps are coming to the Fire TV. Now, there weren't too many interesting new apps that came out for the Fire TV this week, so I thought I'd mention some of the app deals that came out this week. So we had kind of a lull in app deals, but this week, you know, all of a sudden, a lot of nice apps, games mostly, either went on sale or went for free entirely. So just really quickly, Doom and Destiny is a great Japanese role-playing game that went on sale this week. It's got a ton of reviews, 4.5-star rating, so really highly reviewed app, went on sale down from its regular price of $2.99 to $1.10. This other game, Space Epic Untitled, is actually a new game that just came out this week, but I wanted to mention it because they're giving away the first episode for free. Normally it's going to be $4.99. It's going to be a 6-part episodic game. And the interesting thing about this game is that they're going to also release a companion app for smartphones and tablets that let two additional players play along with you. So this is kind of like a space shooter fighting game. And so with the Fire TV game controller and the Fire TV or the Fire TV remote, you'll be able to pilot the aircraft. And then with a companion app, somebody will be able to connect with a smartphone and use the smartphone as kind of a virtual like gunner, you know, to shoot down aircrafts. And then a third person will be able to connect and act as the engineer issuing repairs on the ship. So it's a really cool concept. You know, it's very early on. They don't have all of the features available yet, but I definitely say, guys, get this game now while it's free to kind of try out later when they finally release all these versions. The game is also online multiplayer, up to 48 people on a server, kind of, you know, dogfighting, shooting, space shooting game. Seems really interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to trying this out. Haven't tried it yet, but definitely something to check out. I'll include links to all these apps I mentioned in the show notes, of course. Next up quickly in app deals is Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, which is a new game that came out about a couple weeks ago. It's dropped on sale from $19.99 to $14.99. Now, that might seem expensive, but this is a Wii U and a Nintendo 3DS title that sells for $20 on those devices. And so you're getting the full game. It's not really a mobile game. It's more of a full-fledged console game with, you know, dozens and dozens of hours of gameplay. So if you want a real serious game, definitely check that one out. Sumon Smash is another game that went on sale from $4.99 down to $2.99. It's kind of a Street Fighter-esque game. Not too many reviews on this one, so I'm not sure how good the game is. Haven't tried it myself. These five puzzle games, kids puzzle games, have also gone free. They're usually 99 cents, but they're currently free this week. So check those out also. And if you got some kids and want them to play some very simple puzzles, you'll want to check that out. And lastly, in kind of app deal news, Game of Thrones, the Telltale game has released their first episode for free again. This is the second time they've done this. So this is an episodic game that's chopped up into six parts. You can buy each part for $4.99 or buy the whole, you know, six-part season for, I think it's $19.99. And usually every time they release a new episode, they release the first episode for free to kind of get people to try it out. So it's free again. Definitely check that out. It's a really fun game. And I think they're up to episode 5 now released. And they'll be releasing episode 6, I think, before the year's over. All right. Now, as always, before I jump into answering questions that you guys have submitted, I go briefly over the non-Fire TV news that's kind of come out this week. I don't cover too much of it, but just the big topics. So the Apple TV is coming out next week, we heard. You can pre-order it on Monday, and it's supposed to be delivered later that week. So Tim Cook was at a Wall Street Journal kind of tech conference, and he announced that on stage. They also announced that they got new CBS app and NBC app for that device, and actually also for the previous generation Apple TV. So I'm planning to get one just to try it out, compare it to the Fire TV, you know, see what Apple has to offer with their new platform. I mostly am curious to see if I can get Kodi installed onto it. So supposedly if you compile Kodi yourself, you might be able to install it onto the new Apple TV without rooting. So might write up a little guide. I know it's not Fire TV related, but might actually cover that. And lastly, in non-Fire TV news, YouTube announced their new subscription service called YouTube Red. So for $9.99 a month, you'll be able to watch YouTube completely ad-free. You'll also be able to download YouTube videos for offline viewing and play them in the background, but only on supported devices. So most likely the ad-free viewing will work on the Fire TV, but the downloading and the background play will probably not, almost guaranteed not work on the Fire TV. Now that's primarily because the YouTube app on the Fire TV is not a native app. What that means is it's actually an HTML5 app. So you're really just looking at kind of a web capsule for their youtube.com/TV kind of web portal. So because of that, and because it's not native, it's not going to have kind of those tie-ins with the system that their, you know, native Android or native iPhone, iOS apps would have. But most likely, since you could still log in with the Fire TV app, if your account is subscribed, I assume they will not play those pre-roll ads on the Fire TV. Now, one thing, big thanks to MasterBlaster8987 and Otis for mentioning this in the comments. Something I completely overlooked is that with your $9.99 subscription, you also get full access to Google Play Music, which is their on-demand streaming music service. And their catalog is about like 30 million songs or so. And so it's essentially like you're getting YouTube Red for free if you're already subscribed to Google Play Music. $9.99 a month seemed pretty high for just no ads, you know, but now it makes a lot more sense, since you're also getting basically access to their entire music catalog. So let's move along to answering your reader and listener submitted questions. So every Thursday, I post an article on AFTVnews.com asking for people to submit questions, and we've got quite a few here. So I'll always answer questions, almost all of them live during the live stream, but for the podcast version and the YouTube version of the video that goes up on Saturday, I'll usually include only the kind of more interesting questions. Vulcan195 says, has Amazon indicated if they will include Netflix content in the voice search feature? So it's not up to Amazon if they're going to include Netflix in voice search. It's completely in Netflix's hands. So Amazon is not blocking it or choosing not to include it. Amazon has instructions for any app that can run on the Fire TV for them to submit their database into their voice search. And I have an article, I'll link to it, that kind of goes through what Netflix needs to do and why maybe they haven't done it yet to get their content in the voice search. But it's fully not Amazon's control. It's in Netflix's hands. Netflix has said when the original Fire TV first came out back in April of 2014, the Netflix CEO said in like a conference call with shareholders that they fully plan to support voice search on the Fire TV and to integrate the catalog, but they haven't done it. So if you want that to happen, you guys should definitely email Netflix and get onto their support and tell them to bring that feature to the Fire TV, because it's fully in their control. It's not something Amazon can add themselves. So Bill says, I purchased the AFTV 2 Gaming Edition, so got the new Wi-Fi gaming remote. I would like to use the Bluetooth stick remote from my AFTV now that I'm taking it out of service. However, I'm unable to get the AFTV 2 to use the remote from the AFTV. On the AFTV 2, I know the find remote option will use Wi-Fi to search, but I tried it anyway. I tried searching for Bluetooth devices and pressed the home button on the AFTV stick remote, but it never finds it. I've read web posts on other sites where others have accomplished this using the same procedure I did. Can you offer some guidance as to why this is failing? How to get the remote recognized, or whether Amazon will even support this? Yeah, sure thing, Bill. The Bluetooth remotes from the first generation Fire TV and from the Fire TV Stick fully work with the second generation Fire TV. I confirmed this myself. I was able to connect both the old voice remote from the first gen Fire TV and the non-voice remote from the Fire TV Stick to a second generation Fire TV. You don't use the Bluetooth connection method. You use the remote connection method. I don't know why it didn't work for you. Of course, you know, go through the, you know, making sure you've got fresh batteries in there, making sure the remote is close to the device. But I found that trying to initiate the Fire TV scan and then holding the home button on the Bluetooth remote will work better than kind of vice versa, where you hold the home button first and then initiate the scan. I also found that popping the batteries out and putting them back in, and then, you know, waiting like 15, 20 seconds and then doing the whole initiation, that also kind of tends to help if you're having issues. So it is a little finicky. I think this is one of the bugs that Amazon is working on. So hopefully when the second generation Fire TV gets the 5.0.3 update that we're kind of expecting within the next few weeks, that'll make this kind of connection a little more stable. So another question from Bill. He says, I've noticed 3 or 4 times in the last week where my AFTV2 is unresponsive. I think it is after the unit is inactive for hours. I try the gaming remote and see the white lights flashing on it, but no light blinking on the AFTV2. I have to unplug the unit and restart. Once done, the unit works fine. Is there another way I can use the remote to force the AFTV2 to respond? Is this something others are experiencing, or is it something unique to my unit? No, definitely other people have been experiencing this. I've received a few emails from people. I even got word from my source at Amazon that they're aware of this issue and they're working on a fix. So, you know, like I said earlier, Amazon has a whole team dedicated to just kind of making the new Wi-Fi remotes more stable. Wait for the new update to come out, and that should make things a lot more stable and a lot more responsive with the new remotes. Soham says, will the first gen Fire TV Stick receive the Fire OS 5 update? If yes, when? I really want to check this out on my Stick. Amazon has confirmed that both the first gen Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick, all existing ones, will receive Fire OS 5 update. We don't know when exactly. Initially, I heard this was supposed to come out early October to mid-October. We've obviously passed that now. And most likely the reason they haven't come out yet is because of all the bugs that are kind of around Fire OS 5. So thankfully, they haven't actually pushed that update and kind of, you know, made everybody with existing Fire TVs susceptible to all those bugs. So I would imagine as soon as they make the Fire OS 5 rock solid on the second gen Fire TV, that we'll see Fire OS 5 come to the first generation Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. Now, like I said earlier, the Fire TV Stick with voice remote bundle is looking like it's going to arrive around the end of next week, and that's going to come with Fire OS 5 pre-installed. So I would imagine that probably early November we'll start seeing Fire OS 5 roll out to first gen Fire TV. And, you know, you say first gen Fire TV Stick, but really there's only one generation Fire TV Stick. The new Fire TV Stick bundle is just that. It's just a bundle with the existing old Fire TV Stick. So Nate Between chimes in and says, hello, first off, my AFTV2 is working better than on launch date, so I'm getting happier each week. I hope I'm not beating a dead horse here, but is there any chance of AFTV 1 or 2 being able to natively accept non-FAT32 formatted drives for those of us who have files greater than 4 gigabytes? The ongoing reasoning, as I understand it, is that by not allowing this, Amazon is somehow staying in the good graces of the studios because of potential piracy issues. And if not, is there any chance of a root or hardware hack allowing this in the future? So most likely we'll never see native non-FAT32 support on the first gen and second gen Fire TV. Now, if you root the device, I believe you could still install stick mount. You can sideload stick mount, which will let you mount NTFS drives. I can't remember for sure if that's the case, but I do believe if you're rooted, there are ways to get NTFS drives mounted on the, you know, first generation Fire TV. But because the second generation Fire TV has not been rooted in any way, it's not going to happen there. Now, as for your reasoning, I don't believe that's the case and that's the reason. Really, the main reason I think Amazon's not adding it is because it's not natively supported within Android itself. So they would have to build it into their OS themselves. And really, they don't have much incentive to do so. I don't think it's because they're trying to keep the studios happy for piracy reasons or anything like that, because there are plenty of ways to play pirated content on the Fire TV as is. is, you know, people don't need non-FAT32, you know, support to play pirated content. That's like a minor issue. But, you know, the real reason I think is because, for example, with NTFS, which is the file system that everybody wants to come to the Fire TV, Microsoft themselves don't officially support it outside of Windows. So Amazon would have to kind of jury-rig their own support for NTFS within into the Fire TV. And it's just kind of more trouble than it's worth for them, because the main reason they have external storage support through the micro SD card and through USB drives is to augment the internal storage so you can load more apps. You know, the whole media support on external storage is kind of just a side thing that they kind of officially, unofficially support. You know, they say it's supported, but they don't push it as a feature because they, you know, expect everybody to get most of their content streaming through the cloud, through services like Netflix and Sling TV and such. So yeah, unfortunately, it's very, very, very unlikely you'll see anything other than FAT32 support natively on the Fire TV, both first and second gen. Next comment is from Adam. He says, thanks for all your coverage of what's going on with the buggy Fire TV 2 launch. It really helps to know what's going on. Regarding the sound fixes they're working on, do you know where HDMI audio pass-through is on the list? Largely thanks to you, I'm confident that Dolby Digital will live on my system again, but I haven't seen any information on the HDMI audio pass-through problem. And I'm especially talking about HDMI audio pass-through in context with Kodi. So Adam, I haven't heard specifically from either Amazon's official, you know, PR or through my sources about audio pass-through issues specifically, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be fixed and not going to be coming. One of Amazon's PR reps did tell me that audio on the second generation Fire TV will work like it does on the first generation Fire TV once they get all these bug fixes straightened out. So going off of that, I would assume that eventually HDMI audio pass-through through on Kodi will work, since it does work on the first generation Fire TV. So, you know, have faith, be a little patient. I think they'll get all that stuff working. Jerry asks, is it true that Amazon will add support for old Dolby Digital, not Dolby Digital Plus systems for the first time in this November 30th update? I was never able to use my sound system, which supports Dolby Digital, not Plus, on my original Fire TV box. I have to use Kodi to get my surround sound fix. It will be great if the update adds support for non-Plus. Yeah, so Amazon has officially said that by the end of November, they'll have Dolby Digital working on the second generation Fire TV. They already have Dolby Digital Plus working through the 5.0.2.2 software update that came out a few weeks ago. I would almost think that it might even come before the end of November. That's kind of, I think, their far out deadline. They kind of set that deadline middle of this month, so it kind of gave them a month and a half leeway to reach that goal. And it looks like they're getting things working. And so yeah, according to Amazon, Dolby Digital regular will work in addition to the working Dolby Digital Plus. Lewis asks, I really want to know if it's normal that the indicator light on the front of the 4K Fire TV is not always on. It only shines when you press the remote, unlike the first gen where it's always on. And if not, is it a software bug? So it's normal in the sense that all second gen Fire TV or 4K Fire TVs do this, both for the regular remote control and the game controller. I don't know if it's a bug or not. Amazon hasn't said anything. I haven't actually, you know, asked them. It's possible in the next update, they'll flip it to where it always stays on just like the first generation Fire TV. You kind of have to decide which camp you're in. You know, some people didn't like that that light was always on and they could kind of put a piece of electrical tape on top of it. But I don't know if it will change in future updates, but all devices do that. It isn't just, you know, an issue with your individual device. James Anderson asks, will we see a browser for Fire TV? Very unlikely, just because it's very difficult to, you know, navigate a browser well, you know, with just the remote control. And so it's, you know, highly, highly, highly unlikely Amazon themselves will ever release an official browser for the Fire TV. But you can sideload Firefox and I think Chrome also, the Android versions, and they work pretty well. You know, you're better off if you've got a mouse and keyboard connected to it. You know, you're not going to get much use out of just clicking around with the directional buttons on the remote. But yeah, we'll probably never see an official one from Amazon. Maybe we'll see one added to the App Store, but your best bet right now is to sideload either the Android version of Firefox or the Android version of Chrome. Vulcan195 also says, I sideloaded an app onto the AFTV2 to monitor data usage. Last night, I watched a 1080p TV episode. It was 57 minutes long and consumed 4 gigabytes. That equates to a 9 megabit per second bit rate. This is significantly more than I was expecting. Is it possible that Amazon allocates wider pipes when client device is their own to give them an edge on picture quality? In my area, Comcast has a 300 gigabyte monthly limit, so I'm forced to stress over this. Also, Amazon Prime 4K stream consumed 24 megabit per second. I have a 75 megabit per second pipe. Thanks for sharing those numbers, Vulcan. Those are really interesting. Those are kind of in line with what I would kind of expect. I think Amazon says that they expect a 5 to 10 megabit per second data stream to do 1080p and a 25 megabit per second data stream to do 4K really well. I would think because the Fire TV is an Amazon product that it probably is the best way to view Amazon content. You're probably going to get the best quality stream, and then probably the stream they're sending to, say, an Android device or an iOS device is not as high quality. You know, they definitely have an incentive to push out the best bitrate stream to Fire TVs over other devices. So I would think that if you go with a different device, you might get less bandwidth usage. All right, next question from Lewis, a regular here on the podcast. He says, "Hi, Elias, how are you?" Doing pretty good, thanks. He asks, "I installed Alexa on my phone and it says Alexa will be available soon on my AFTV1. Any more concrete idea when this will be?" So I assume you installed the Alexa app, which kind of lets you connect to the Amazon Echo and the Fire TV 2. Yeah, so Alexa will be coming to the first-gen Fire TV. I assume it's going to come with Fire OS 5. So like I said earlier, my best guess is that we'll see Fire OS 5 come to the first-gen Fire TV probably around beginning to mid-November. That'd be my guess. No concrete news from Amazon on when that's going to come, though. Lewis also says, "It says the smart home function won't be available on my device, like on the Echo. Eventually, this should also be available, right? Any idea how long that will be and or why they don't include it from the beginning?" What Lewis is referring to are the abilities for Alexa to control kind of what they call smart devices. So like being able to turn lights on and off, being able to turn on and off smart outlets. So Alexa on the Fire TV does not support controlling these smart home devices. I assume it's because the device itself has to make a connection through your network and discover those devices. And so it takes a little bit more than just adding Alexa. You actually have to put that functionality into the device itself. So that'd be my guess why it's not available on the Fire TV yet. I have been told by my sources at Amazon that this current version of Alexa on the Fire TV is kind of step one. It just kind of brings the base functionality, kind of the stuff we saw with the Amazon Echo when it was very first released. When the Amazon Echo was first released, it did not come with the smart home device functionality options either. They were kind of added later on. So I've been told that sometime later this year, hopefully, we'll see an update come that will add more functionality to Alexa and kind of bake it in further into the Fire TV. So I would think that's when we'll see, hopefully, smart home functionality come to the Fire TV. Lastly, Lewis asks, "Do you have an Amazon Echo? Do you like it? What do you use it for? Is it worth the price?" Yeah, I do have an Amazon Echo. I got it right when they announced it. I submitted for the pre-order, basically. It was definitely worth the price back then, because back before they actually released it to the general public, if you were an Amazon Prime member, you could pre-order it for, I think it was $100. Now it's $180. So I think for $100, it's definitely worth the price. I mean, that's the cost of just a decent Bluetooth speaker. And, you know, Alexa does so much more than just a basic Bluetooth speaker. At $180, I still think it's worth it. As far as what I use it for, it's really the little things that are most convenient with the Amazon Echo. You know, just having that always listening option is huge. You know, that is the key to the Amazon Echo. Alexa in the Fire TV is not nearly as handy because the TV has to be on, first of all. You have to have the remote near you, and then you can kind of get the information. So you have to kind of already be in a certain scenario. Whereas with the Echo, it's always there. It's always listening. Basically, as long as you're within range of the microphone, you can issue commands. And so it's really handy to just get the time, to set a timer, to get the weather. You know, every morning, at some point, I think to myself, I wish I, you know, knew the weather. And Alexa is the most convenient way to figure that out. More convenient than getting onto a computer or going and picking up a smartphone. Those are the kind of those little use cases where it's just slightly more convenient in a lot of little ways than other ways of getting the same information. You know, so that's kind of how I use the Echo the most. I think it's a great product. So Kevin says, "I'm willing to be patient as Amazon fixes the sound issues and bugs on the device. I did pick up the gaming version, but it didn't come with a remote. My bad, I didn't read the reviews. It was an impulse buy since I had an expiring Staples 25% off coupon. I did pair finally the Bluetooth remote. My big issues, questions at this point are, how soon will the old remote get Alexa? Will the new remote be sold separately and for how much? Will I be able to have that remote, assuming I can get one, upstairs and connect to the Fire TV downstairs via Wi-Fi and be able to control it via Alexa?" So when you say, Kevin, the old remotes getting Alexa. I'm not sure if you mean on the first generation Fire TV, I assume, because you should be able to use the first gen voice remote on the second gen Fire TV and be able to use Alexa. It's not dependent on the remote itself, really. It's dependent on the device. So the first gen Fire TV will get Alexa when the Fire OS 5 update comes out, which again, like I mentioned already, will hopefully come out around, you know, mid-November-ish. As far as buying the new remote, I don't know when that's going to happen. So Amazon is already selling the new Wi-Fi based remote in Japan, but they're still, it looks like, currently only selling the old Bluetooth voice remote in the US and in the UK and Germany. So my guess is they're going to wait till that supply runs out before they start selling the new Wi-Fi remotes. For them, they're not really making it that public that there's actually two different remotes, a Bluetooth and a Wi-Fi version. They actually still haven't officially said that the new remote is Wi-Fi even. So I think this is because they want to get rid of all that, the old stock of the Bluetooth remote. As far as being able to have that Wi-Fi remote upstairs and issue commands to the Fire TV, yeah, you should be able to. The Wi-Fi remote, even though it has the connection issues right now, is actually has a longer range than the Bluetooth remote. The Bluetooth remote is only about 30 feet, whereas theoretically the Wi-Fi remote has, you know, a wider, you know, almost double, triple that, I believe. But of course, going through walls and going through stairs and that sort of stuff will affect whether you can issue remotes. But Vulcan195 chiming in again, saying, this is a question for Android developers. When I use a smartphone to download apps from Google Play Store and sideload to the Fire TV, does it result in a phone version of the app running on the Fire TV, or does the APK contain versions of multiple devices and automatically installs a different version on the Fire TV? That depends on the app itself. So it could be either case. Some developers choose to create, for example, TV versions of their apps. So they'll have a regular version that'll be for smartphones, and then they'll have a TV version that'll be for, say, Android TV and for like the Fire TV. Best practice and what Google and Amazon encourage developers to do is to include versions of their apps for all sorts of devices, all sorts of screen sizes, all sorts of features within their app, because the device itself will tell the app what its capabilities are, and that's how the app will determine whether it's compatible and which features to allow and which kind of display to allow. For example, you can have a single app that's made for smartphones and made for a TV interface. And so depending on which device it's connected to, the device will tell it what kind of, you know, display to display, whether to do a portrait or to do a landscape by default, you know, that kind of features. So it depends on the app itself. You know, usually there's no way to tell which app will do what. You know, you just gotta have to kind of try it to find out. Tim asks, while you have noted Amazon employees are testing the current Fire TV to find potential software issues, are you aware of any noted hardware issues currently being discussed at Amazon? Additionally, when can AFTV 2 box users expect the next software update? Seems like this is a running theme. You know, when is the next update coming? So as far as that, like I mentioned before, no concrete news from Amazon other than November 30th for the update. So I would expect that to be the latest. Seeing that the new Fire TV stick bundle is going to be out probably next week, I would think that that's a good indication that Fire OS 5 is getting pretty stable and will probably make its way to existing devices at the start of November or mid-November. As far as hardware issues, I'm told from my source on the Fire TV team that the hardware on the second generation Fire TV is rock solid. He says there are no hardware issues there. It's all just software issues that they're very confident that they're going to be able to work through and fix. So that's really good news there. There's no concern about getting bad device or needing to return the device and get a second revision or anything like that. So definitely no concern there. The only hardware issue that I heard about is potentially with the remote control, where some of them have that battery door that's kind of applied too tightly. So it's a minor issue that most people can get open eventually. It might just be a little hard to do the first time. That's literally the only hardware issue that I know of and that, you know, my source at Amazon, you know, knows about. So the second generation Fire TV hardware is rock solid, and it will soon be a rock solid device once they get those software fixes out. Arrow says, I have a AFTV 2, my first Fire TV, and am frustrated that some apps like ABC and Yahoo that have recently been announced as available on Fire TV are not available on this newest model. I know they updated the OS and the install base for Fire TV 2 must be much smaller, but why would they not make the effort to make these new apps available for both Fire TV models? Have you heard anything about whether they plan to address this soon? I want to love my first Amazon Media Box, but this seems like it is just one more oversight that makes me want to send it back. I'll probably end up keeping it, but I'll never buy the new model of anything Amazon again. Jeez. Thanks for the site and the show. You're welcome, Arrow. I haven't heard anything specifically about that. I mean, really, it's up to the app developer like ABC and Yahoo to test their app on the new device And basically all they need to do is check a box in their kind of developer interface saying that it's compatible with the second gen Fire TV. It's also the case the other way around, where there are actually apps that are listed as compatible with the second gen Fire TV that are not compatible with the first gen Fire TV. You should contact those developers directly, you know, contact ABC, contact Yahoo, tell them. A lot of times they don't really know. I mean, they're not into the whole Fire TV ecosystem as much as I am and you are. So they may not even be aware that there's a new box out there that they need to, you know, support. And really, the two boxes are almost identical, so all they need to do is check a box. Definitely do that. You know, don't lose faith over this minor thing. The box has only been out for, what, 3 weeks now? And so it takes a little time for developers to fully test their app on all the different devices. So I'm sure over time, ABC and Yahoo will come to all of the different Fire TV devices. All right, so that will conclude the 12th episode of the AFTV Newscast. I hope you enjoyed listening or watching. As always, I'll have this episode up on Saturday morning through the RSS feed and through iTunes as an audio-only stream, and it will be available on YouTube in video format. I hope you've enjoyed the better video quality. If you've only listened to this via audio only, this is probably a good time to catch the video version. I try to show the articles that I'm talking about and show the questions that I'm talking about for you guys through the video version. So definitely check that out. If you are watching the video version on YouTube, please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. I like to, you know, produce video content here and there in addition to this podcast. So I would appreciate a subscription for you guys to catch everything. All right. Thanks again for watching. Hope to catch you guys here next week.